following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this, what is in Nebraska known as the first day of high school football. Never bothered me.
That's funny. You know, the last 2 years I haven't had to do anything, but the previous 32 years, you know, I spent a little time out there. But yeah, what do you think?
What's going on today? From the coach's perspective, what's going on today? You've been to the camps. You've got all your equipment kind of was put together. You've put the kids through conditioning. Probably almost every high school had a practice this morning. Take us from a coach's perspective, what today's like.
Well, you're looking to see who went out. You know, you're counting on people who went out, who did not, you know, who's not out. There were some kids maybe that got in trouble in the summertime. You know, you're getting all that kind of stuff straightened out and what you're going to do and kind of see what, you know, because there's people that are going to improve. You're going to have some freshman boy that was a sophomore and in the last 6 months or 8 months after the last football practice, boy, has he changed. You're going, whoa, we can count on this kid. You got that type of stuff. But a lot of that stuff, you know, you've been in the weight room. If you did anything at all this summer, and most coaches did a tremendous amount, this isn't anything where it's just you show up and it's going to be a surprise to you. But hey, you're trying to get kids in shape. You're making sure that everything's fits. You know, the equipment's going to fit. Everybody got checked out correctly. Because you're getting these next 2 days, you're getting ready for your first, you know, actual practice on Wednesday. You're going to, I think, I did a lot of special team stuff, you know, Doug. That's what I really did. I really tried to get all that special team stuff done, you know, because when you work on punt return, you can spend a lot of time. There's a lot of running involved, and there's a lot of different punt returns you have. You know, you're going to go left, right. You're going to go up the middle.
Well, that's because you don't have a lot. You can't full – I mean, it's not full pass.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly – you can't hit. So you might as well do some things that you can do that direction.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the phone number if you'd like to be on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, you can give us a call on the Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. I think I mentioned that. And you can also email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. As we do every time, preview. Kearney High's Brandon Cool will join us later on in the program. They went through their first practice this morning. The teachers are in. They're going through their acclimation, I guess, getting all their stuff together, going through their meetings. And we'll talk to Jeff Tomlin of Grand Island tomorrow, and we'll cover Hastings and Grand Island and Kearney schools first. Then we, as we always do, we start to spread out and take a look at some of the other schools and rated teams from around the area, of which there'll be many. I have had a sneak look at Huskerland Prep Report in the top 10, but That's not officially released yet, so we'll hold off on that, but we'll talk with Brandon Cool. Also coming up, Sean Callahan, Nebraska practice wrapping up here. They have their first two-a-day today, their first practice of the day wrapping up, and when Sean wraps up his work, we'll be chatting with him a little bit later on in the show. And we'll also, as our Big Ten preview continues, catch up with Ibrahim Campbell of Northwestern. Yes, I'll ask him where he was standing during the infamous Hail Mary pass as he was right there on the field against Nebraska. But good young man. It was a pleasure to talk to this guy, and you'll hear from him coming up here. He likes playing against Nebraska. He's had his best games against Nebraska, tackle-wise, stat-wise. He's had his best games against the Huskers, and they'll host Nebraska later on this year. Want to thank Jimmy, want to thank Randy, want to thank Damon, Greg Shea, all the folks that were part of the Doug and Daddy show as I took a few days off last week. And I don't know if I did I miss anything? Miss anything, Jimmy? Except the Little Leaguers. The Little Leaguers was the big story last week. And as always, you know, the effort is there. They were one of the final two teams. I mean, you're the best in Nebraska by far, and you're one of the final two teams in the regionals. So only eight are going to Williamsport, and one of them is led by a young lady that's getting a lot of publicity last night and today out of Pennsylvania, I believe it is, that pitched the winning game yesterday. So whatever the case is, not everybody can go, and I know that hurts for a little bit, but reading what Coach Bonner was posting on Facebook and a variety of other things, he said kids were still having fun as they got ready for the ride home.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Kearney represented themselves well. You know, they caught a break getting back into the Final Four. You know, that was, you know, when you win one game and you get into the Final Four, you're going, hey, this worked out just fine. But they took advantage of that and competed real well in their last two games and gave themselves an opportunity to win. Doug, if there's anything that we're missing here right now, and you know, it's very odd what the Royals have done, Kansas City Royals. I mean, since you've been gone. I mean, you left and you said, hey, we're really playing well and you did what you needed to do and now you've picked it up and I'm going to start watching you again. Well, not only did they do what they needed to do, they've increased this. In fact, they are the talk of all Major League Baseball right now. The Kansas City Royals are what everybody is talking about right now. They're playing better than anybody in the major leagues, and I'm glad I get to say that because they're my team.
Yeah, 15 out of the last 18, and I think we can go back to why that is, Jimmy. We can go back to the speech I had to give. I said, I'm done with you if you don't start, you know. I mean, I've invested a little here. I'm not the number one Royals fan. I'm not saying that. But I invested a little bit in you. You had to go 7-2 in those nine games. You went 7-2, and now you've really taken it to the next level, 15-3 in the last 18 games. They're a half game back of Detroit, and I can't, in my mind, and we talked about this a little bit, stress how important I think that is. Not just to get into that wild card in a one-game playoff. You get in by winning your division. Then you don't have to worry about the one-game playoff. You actually have, you know, in quote, made the playoffs. You're not making the playoffs because they added a team here a couple of years ago. All that crap that people will be saying, well, they're the Royals, it's been everybody else has been in the playoffs since the Royals have been. You know, it's been 29 years or whatever it's been. And the only reason they're in is because they added that other wild card. You don't have to worry about that talk. You beat Detroit. You pass Detroit. You pass who many people picked to either go to or win the World Series out of the American League. You get that extra couple of days, and you're still going to have a tough opponent. But you're guaranteed to play a playoff game in front of your home fans, and that's all you can ask for.
You know, I'll tell you, here's something else, Doug. This is kind of, I looked this up yesterday because Detroit had a couple of rainouts. They have to play two doubleheaders. Their pitching staff, they put two pitchers on the 15-day disabled list. More important than that, there are 15 teams in the American League, and there's a couple of National League games that are going to be played. And I'm going to tell you right now, I looked it up, Detroit, in their next 40 games, they're playing 29 teams that are still alive in the playoffs. 29 of their 40 games. The Royals are almost reverse. It's 13. The Royals are getting to play. They get to play the Texas Rangers. They're playing the Colorado Rockies. You know, they've got this four-game series with Oakland. But, I mean, their schedule, if you look at it, it is absolutely amazing. Now, the last week, it goes the wrong direction. The last week, the Royals have to play their last seven games on the road. Detroit's last seven are at home. But they're playing against the Twins and the White Sox and people like that that are not contenders.
And where, I guess there's almost every angle with the Royals. When it's been this long, we talk about it. They get a winning streak, but they can't avoid long losing streaks, which is what has knocked them out. And they had one again this year, but they were able to recover from that by going on the 10-game winning streak. But they always, and they will lose some baseball games here. Stop it at two. Stop it at two. Don't let a losing streak get longer than two. You can accept that because that just, I mean, it happens. I mean, who would have thought the Giants would have come in and got swept at Kauffman Stadium? I mean, the Giants are in the thick of things in the National League West. Who would have thought that? That hurts them, but at least it's on the road. When you're coming down the home stretch here, just, you don't have to win six in a row, eight in a row. It's great if you do. Just don't lose more than two in a row. I think that's a key.
I'll tell you another thing that's a key. It's the pitching staff that does that. You know, they talk about a stopper. You know, hey, this guy's our stopper, this guy's our stopper. Right now, all four guys have been hot. All four pitchers are pitching extremely well. They're getting good innings. They're being able to rest their bullpen at times. So everything's going correct. And Doug, hey, I think it's really important about in pitching. After your team has lost two games in a row, like you said, two. I always said three. You said two. But if you've lost three games in a row, that next guy's got to get up there and go, hey, it stops right here, boys.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm going to put a zero up there and as many zeros as I need to until we can figure out a way to win a game.
I was shocked, and this was about a week ago, when they showed that the Royals have, and it's probably up to number two now, but last week at the time, they had won the third most series in baseball, and they were still not, they hadn't taking that playoff spot up. Now, on the other side, remember, they're only a game and a half of being out of the playoffs right now, and there's two teams that are one and a half back and another that's two and a half back that are chasing them. So the Royals, not only are they not secured a playoff berth, it could go either way. That's why I say make up that half game. Don't worry about that game and a half, those guys behind you. Who cares how hot they are? If you can take care of Detroit, and Detroit's 9-4 against the Royals this year, and that's after the Royals got them early, we'll see. But it's fun. The Royals games are on the Breeze, 94.5, and Oakland on the schedule for the next four games at Kauffman Stadium starting tonight at 7:10. And then, as you said, they've got a 9-game road trip, Twins, Rockies, Rangers. They have a makeup game at home with the Yankees. Then it's Twins and Indians. So yeah. The Royals always seem to, and again, you can always go, man, they sure are doing good against the good teams, but they struggle against the poor teams like they did against Miami at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and they lost a 3-game series to Houston. You guys, there is there is not a great baseball team this year. There's not like the Cincinnati Reds in the 70s and the A's in the 70s. And you know, we can go on and talk about teams that won over 100 baseball games. I don't think there's anybody like that. If there is, it's the A's and the Angels are having a little success out there. Maybe the Dodgers, you know, have a chance. You know, there might be a group, but I just don't see one great Major League Baseball team this year out of all of them that can just take charge and dominate games.
But as Royals fans, it's just fun to be able to talk about it. Before we go into break here, love to hear from you, whether it's Royals, whether it's Huskers, they have really taken a beating here. All I can continue to say is, you know what? It's a good thing it's now and not after the McNeese State game where you have to quickly turn things around. You're getting ready for two tough games. These guys now have a month to prepare, even if they are the backups, and you just got to put them in there. And I thought Coach Pelini was agitated after Saturday's practice. It was the short answer, don't worry about it, media, you know, answers that you'll feel from time to time. You got to be a little worried, though. Jimmy, I mean, you got three guys that should have played football for you.
Yeah,
significant numbers of snaps, if not start.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you know that injuries are a key because it's depth. I mean, it's depth. You know, that's the one thing. When you start losing players, now you're losing some depth off your roster. You're switching the guys around because you think, hey, I had two really good guys at this one position. I'm going to have to switch a guy over, and maybe he can play that a little bit. Because you want to get your best athletes on the field, Doug. I think that's true. The one thing I have noticed, Miami of Florida seems to be losing players about every week.
You know, for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, they
injuries, suspensions.
Yeah, they've really lost a lot of players, too. And that's kind of a big game for us, too, is that Miami and Florida game that when you look at the early in the season.
The big home game, no doubt about it. There are so many topics to touch on. I'll go quickly here as you brought up the Royals, which was one of the many things here. And then, of course, the Huskers, and we'll talk with Sean Callahan towards the latter portion of the program. Brandon Cool, Kearney High coach. In our next segment, Ibrahim Campbell, the great safety out of Northwestern University. Watching the golf yesterday, and again, it's not going to sound good how I say whatever I say when it comes to NASCAR and golf this weekend, because it's two separate audiences for the most part. I don't know a lot of NASCAR slash golf fans. I think there obviously are some, but what a great day to watch golf yesterday. All the big names, a lot of the big names, as many big names as you want, except for the Austrian that was at the in the final group there, who they just never showed even hit a shot because he wasn't in contention. But Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, Ricky Fowler, you got to feel heart. Ricky Fowler played his overall. He's played better maybe than Rory did in the combined four events. Rory's now won three in a row, two of them being majors. He's a Masters away from the Grand Slam. I thought when he was two strokes back yesterday, he was out of it because of the greatness that was ahead of him. And it's not like Fowler or Stenson or Mickelson played bad, but the 17th hole, bogeys versus a birdie, and the same on 12, two of the toughest, or maybe the two toughest holes on the back nine, that's where it was won. That's where the comeback was made by McIlroy yesterday. And it can't not like McIlroy. He's a very likable guy, and so he's easy to root for. And Phil, two eagle chances on the back yesterday, a big bending, breaking putt that just didn't quite go in. And then only Phil would have the flag pulled yet again on a chip that missed by 2 inches, 3 inches eagle?
Yeah, went by 6 inches. Hey, you know, Doug, on 10, too, he had a heck of a – I think he hit a wood, but I'm not for sure.
Yeah, he gets a break there.
Yeah, he gets that and rolls that within about 7 feet and ends up getting the eagle. And the other thing is, I think Mickelson and Fowler, I think they played the back nine even. And, you know, they needed to play a little bit. Then, of course, we know that now. But probably needed to play that 2-under, 3-under, and probably knew it at the time because there were some birdie. 18 was like a
– Well, one under because they did birdie 18.
Did they really? Okay, yeah. They birdied 8. So they played that 1-under. I thought they had a bogey in there.
Yeah.
So they play. I think they played the back nine even. And the other guy, I mean, the winner plays at 4-under.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was a big difference. But Fowler also, you know, like he said, he made some 6- and 7-foot – savers for par. You know, he just really never had that shot that he could really knock it home, you know.
Somebody
yeah.
like a 30-footer for par.
Yeah, isn't that something?
I love the fist pump.
But yeah, you're right. And then you were talking about NASCAR, too.
What do you do? Because this isn't really NASCAR. It happened on the dirt track. And, I mean, what do you say? I guess it's one of those things that you're almost amazed. I mean, I'm still amazed that at some point, and it has happened, where a wood bat doesn't break and really hurt somebody. I know a player, a third baseman, and I forget, I thought it was maybe from the Brewers a few years back, got poked by the shredded part of a bat. Well, these guys get out of their cars, and on a NASCAR track, there's a lot more room. These dirt tracks, there's no room. It's a freak deal. It's just like a bull rider getting gored after he comes off the bull. 99.9% of the time, there's never going to be a problem. It's a freak deal. But I guess when they're saying they're investigating this, what are they investigating? The guy gets out of his car and runs in front of a moving vehicle. What is there to investigate?
Hey, you know, when people, they talk about when people get out of cars, and people have a tendency to lose their temper when they're driving, right?
Road rage?
Yes, that's exactly what it's called. I think there's more to it than we're saying. I mean, I live in Kearney, Nebraska. I'm not a professional. I'm a co-host. I have a little more problem with this one. In baseball, if somebody accidentally, the bat comes out of their hand and they hurt somebody, or they hit a line drive into the crowd and it accidentally hurts somebody, it's a little different than if the pitcher throws at you and you take off with that weapon, and that you got a bat in your hand, and now you're using that as a weapon. You've lost your temper, and now you take on this guy. This is different. This is different. This is, hey, this has nothing to do with the game. This is about you losing your temper and acting like an idiot with a bat in your hand. Now, the other one's an accident.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's some other things that happen in sports, too. But when this guy got out of his car, he was pissed. It was road rage. He came out and he challenged him. The other two guys looked like they hit their brakes. I don't know what happened exactly, but this guy, you know, we got a guy in a car driving. And I mean, and it's a different activity. Let's be honest about it. I mean, when you are trying to beat another guy in a race, in a car race, you have to take chances and risks to get through there. You're going to take a chance. You don't want to hurt anybody. That's not the goal. And hey, I know after this all happened, everybody wished they'd have handled it different. And I've seen that on the interstate, too, where I've seen two people maybe that which should have handled it different. But I think in this case, this was not an athletic accident that took place. The accident occurred 20 seconds before it happened. Now we have a reaction of two athletes and what they're going to do, and we don't know what the driver's thinking. And that is, I'm telling this as actual as I can, that the other things are part of the athletic event. And I'm trying to give you that. When you talked about baseball, that sometimes somebody gets hurt, but they were trying to score a run. They were trying to do something. They were trying to hit a baseball. But not when you go after the pitcher with the baseball bat. That has nothing to do with the game, and there's no place for it.
And as some of the NASCAR watchers were talking yesterday, it's the bad boy, one of the bad boys of NASCAR. If this was, you know, I don't know, pick your nice guy, and I don't know, everybody has their driver. So some people don't like Kyle Busch, some people don't like Brad Keselowski, some people don't like Jeff Gordon, but I suppose I could go with Jeff Gordon. He seems to be the most likable guy. If Jeff Gordon had done this instead of Tony Stewart has a reputation as a tough guy, a rough guy, not afraid to mix it up with people. But that's where my heart, I guess, would be today, because I'm guessing that there is in no way, I mean, the car veers off, he's right behind another one, he didn't even probably see the guy out there, and if he did, how are you going to get out of the way? He's got to live with that the rest of his life. And I, you know, they talk about NASCAR or sports people, you know, they don't go to funerals because they could be next, and you see that in the movies and the plot lines all the time. I don't even know how a driver of anything, no matter what the sport is, that would be very tough to come back from.
Yeah, just a different mentality of a sport. I mean, what you're trying to do, you've got an object that's going 200 miles an hour. I mean, at sometimes these don't on those dirt tracks, but you're driving a thing at an extremely high speed. And because of that, I mean, it's easy to talk about, and you have to, like I said, but I mean, the competitiveness of getting out of your car and challenging the guy. I mean, boy, I'll tell you what, there's got to be something about the sport where there's, you know, we're going to say, hey, for the safety of everyone, hey, we've got to do something about this sport to not let people take off and challenge people. There's got to be a huger fine for doing some of these things.
Folks, we'll take your thoughts on any of it. Rory, NASCAR, the Huskers, high school football, everything else, the little baseball, Royals, what else is going on? Sure love to hear from you. Dent Popper Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. Hey, a lot of places say they are sports bars and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. And thanks to them, Monday doesn't have to be blue anymore. With the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill from 11 to 4 today, they have steak sandwiches with your choice of side for only $7.49. And from 2 to 5:30, you can get the appetizer specials for only $2.25. Long necks and draws, $2.25. Kearney's Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds. Downtown Kearney, on a brick, stop by and see them today. We will talk with Northwestern safety Ibrahim Campbell after this.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl. Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you. And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? as authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As skies remain sunny throughout the day today, we'll top off at 80 for a high with north winds in the 5 to 15 range. For tonight, with mostly clear skies, we'll head down to 53 with a light north wind. I'm Paul Tremblay. Right now, it's 70. Hey! Hey!
Hey! Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Glad to have you along with us. Bad news over the weekend for former Loper Mason Brodeen. Fractured his ankle in the first preseason game for the Rams against the Saints. He had switched over from defensive end to tight end in the offseason, but was doing a bit of both during training camp. He was on the practice squad all of last year. He was on the practice squad for 13 games in 2012. He is scheduled for surgery tomorrow. So our local product, Mason Brodeen, that we got to see in high school and see at UNK, and now some trouble there for Mr. Brodeen. Also want to let you know they are down to the final three teams in the American Legion Central Plains Regional in Fargo, North Dakota. Two of those are from Nebraska. The two state champions, Omaha Westside and Creighton Prep, will play each other today at 3. The winner turns around to play St. Cloud, Minnesota. Whoever wins that will head to the American Legion World Series in Cary, North Carolina. Westside thump Creighton Prep in the overall Class A state championship, which in the grand scheme of things was nothing more than who will win and who will lose, because they both went to North Dakota and they were both state champions. It's time now for our Big Ten Report, brought to you in part by Misco Sports. Get your game on at Misco's, keeping you better equipped for the games you play for years, and will keep you equipped for years to come. If you're in the Ord area, stop by and see Steve and the gang taking care of you, and don't forget their new website coming soon, taking care of all of the area schools and athletes as they have for years, traveling the state. Misco Sports.
Our Big Ten preview today takes us to Northwestern with their outstanding safety and Ibrahim Campbell, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Ibrahim, thanks for the time, and I'll tell you what, it looks like your favorite team to play against is Nebraska. Your stats every single year that you play the Huskers have been pretty solid for you.
It's always a fun game to play. Since the first year we played them, it was a good game, and I think that's kind of been the expectation going into that game every year now.
Of course, let's just get it out of the way. Where were you standing? Where were you on the field for last year's final play?
I was right there, down there in the end zone. I know it was a tough play to handle, but at the end of the day, it happened, and we got to try to learn from it and improve from it.
How did you guys bounce back from that? Because it seemed like every bounce went against you last year. You were a much better football team than obviously the record indicated. What did you guys do to finish out the season?
Yeah, it was a tough season. We eventually did finally get a win at the end of the season in the conference, and that was big for us, kind of to carry us over into the off season and into this year. So it kind of just set the tone for the off season, really to really get back at it and kind of reestablish ourselves and with a different sense of urgency than we had during the season, because obviously what we were doing wasn't enough, and so guys realized that we had to step it up, maybe do some things differently, and that's what we've really been doing, and trying to harp on the team aspect of it, and holding each other accountable.
Ibrahim Campbell of Northwestern's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Very successful season yourself and team wise 2 years ago. Was there something that just didn't click last year? Is there something that the coaches in spring ball and the seniors have realized that just didn't click last year that you're going to be able to fix for this season?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a point in the season where obviously we lost a couple games, and we realized something needed to change, and we weren't able to make that change, that adjustment, fast enough. Everyone's taking ownership of it. There's never been any finger pointing. Coaches realized that they needed to improve, as well as players. Players realized that they needed to make improvements, and that's something that we've been harping on as far as holding each other accountable. While we know that we need to do our jobs, we also trust that our teammates, our coaches, everyone in our program is going to do their jobs as well. From this whole offseason has been our focus.
Okay, out of the safety position, give me a little preview of what the defensive backs and the secondary is going to look like for Northwestern this year.
I'm excited. This whole spring ball, this whole offseason, we've been making plays, flying around. The whole defense, really. We've got tremendous talent. The athletes that we have back there are some of the best we've had since I've been here. And I'm excited to finally hit the field this fall.
Coach Fitzgerald, with that Northwestern pedigree, with that linebacker that that himself is, how involved does he continue to be? I know that's his pride is on that side of the ball.
Yeah, he's always been involved. His energy is second to none. He's a very, very emotional guy, and he really gets after you. And that's something you love as a player, someone who's been there, understands the game, understands the struggle that you're going through, and can really relate to you and kind of put everything into perspective very well, which is what he does.
A lot of people around not only our show but around the nation have called Northwestern a dark horse this year with a chance because of so many close losses last year and all the talent they have coming back to having a tremendous year, not just a bounce back year, but a tremendous year. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. I don't know that I've heard that. I usually don't hear things, positive things outside of the Northwestern community about us. So if they're saying that, good. It's good to hear that, but regardless, we're kind of approaching it like we still have a lot to prove, and that's the case. And so we're gonna go into every game with a chip on our shoulder because we still feel like we have a lot to prove.
I know you guys get pounded with this union question. Has it affected on field preparation as far as practices, spring ball? Has it affected the football team in that manner at all?
Absolutely. I actually think since the union, guys have become a lot closer as a team. And I think, like, while that may not seem that it's an on-field issue, it definitely matters when guys can relate to teammates that they never were able to relate to before and able to have fun with those teammates on the field. Because having fun is half the battle in this game, because it's a grind. It can be tough. And when you're having fun with your boys out there on the field, it makes everything a lot more fun, a lot easier. And I think the union has done that for us.
Okay, Husker fans are going to be coming up to Chicago in full force, and Coach says let's slow them down a little bit. Let's get more Northwestern fans here. But tell me a little something, if fans, whether it's Nebraska or not, when they come up to Evanston, come into Chicago, what's something that they can't miss if they come up on campus?
On campus, when they're coming, the beaches will probably be closed, which is one of the highlights of the campus. But I don't know. There's always a there's great places to eat all around campus. Evanston's a great city, right not too far from the city of Chicago. And if anything you really want from the city, you can kind of get a little taste of it in Evanston. And then going down to the city, you'll get the full Chicago experience. So, just be open-minded when you come to the city, I would say.
Unique place, unique school.
Yeah, definitely. Just to have the combination of the academics, the football, and then having that like small town mentality in Evanston, and then also having that big city in Chicago. It's a place that I don't think can be beat. I don't think.
Northwestern safety Ibrahim Campbell. Last question. You've got a family of football players. How has that helped you grow as a football player yourself, with all your brothers being right there with you?
They've always been giving me advice my whole life about the game, and I really just grew up playing with them, and it was never as serious as I think outsiders made it out to be, because it was just all I knew. So football is kind of like second nature to me, and it's like a part of my life. It's just the way I grew up, and that's pretty much all I know.
Well, have a great season, Ibrahim. Appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and good luck.
Thank you.
That is our Big Ten preview, catching up today with Ibrahim Campbell from Northwestern as they get ready for Jimmy's team, kind of his dark horse, thinks that they could do well. There's so many swing games. Seems like there's just more swing games than there used to be. Parity in the league, maybe more parity across the country. Our Big Ten coverage brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island. For mass times and parish activities throughout central and western Nebraska, go to gidiocese.org. So Northwestern's got to win the swing games for them to do what you think that they can do.
Yeah, I think that's what team that's got a chance. Thing of it is they're picked fifth. you know, basically in that side. And you're looking for somebody, you know, that kind of a long shot that no one else really likes. And I think they have as good a chance as anybody to maybe win some of those swing games. It's going to be interesting. You know, they had that deal with the NCAA where their team was the one that kind of got things started. And I think this is going to unify the team. Sometimes in sports, if you can find something that unifies your team and everybody gets close and you get a little closer, you start playing for each other. And, and when that happens, sometimes those people get excited and they you know, they start winning games and they build on that stuff. And that's kind of what I'm counting on.
Momentum. Yep. Mitch Leidner, outstanding quarterback for Minnesota. We still have him on the docket. Also, Mr. Gordon, outstanding running back for Wisconsin. We have Melvin Gordon still to chat with later on this week. We'll hear from Brady Hoke, Michigan coach. So that's part of our Doug and Daddy show throughout the week. Coming up, Sean Callahan, fresh out of Nebraska football practice, and Kearney football coach Brandon Cool. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you as we get closer to the start of football season. High school getting underway today. Brandon Cool, Kearney High, will join us in the next segment. The Huskers getting ready for that August 30th opener against Florida Atlantic and our first two-a-day practice today in Lincoln. Sean Callahan from Husker Online joins us on our T&L Irrigation Husker update. I'll tell you what, wanted to find out a whole bunch as I took a few days off last week. We bring in a new kid. We lose some kids for injury and a variety of other reasons. And then, I guess, more bad news today. Sean, you asked Coach Pelini Saturday about the running back situation, and I guess he had the answer today. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Adam Taylor, as you probably have already hinted, broke his ankle in Saturday's scrimmage. And, you know, they didn't give the timetable, but I'm assuming it is a season-ending injury when you break an ankle at this point in the game. But, yeah, a tough blow. But, you know, another position, once again, where Nebraska does have depth. And, there's been a lot of injuries. But Kenny Bell said, you know, every year in camp there's going to be two or three guys that go down. It just happens, you know. And, I look at what they've lost across the board, and You know, I think the biggest loss is, to me, still is Leroy Alexander. I think he was a really big part, or a guy that was going to have a great year. I do think Byerson Cockrell is going to have a good year and play where Charles Jackson is at. You know, Charles Jackson had yet to start a game at Nebraska and had really always struggled mentally, where Cockrell early on has always been impressive and has very good football instincts. So I think that's got, you know, and then the other spot with Mike linebacker, Michael Rose, well, I think Josh Banderas was going to win that job and Rose was going to play. But, you know, I still believe the Leroy one of all the ones that we've just talked about is probably the one that will have the biggest impact. But I don't think, you know, it's going to change the season where now Nebraska can't win the division. I still think they have enough guys in place to compete to win this thing.
Those are always the ones that get the fans and the message boards going, Sean, when there is no specific reason given for a suspension or an injury or a lack of playing time or whatever the case may be. So the fans are out there wondering, you know, can Sean Callahan shed any light on this? I know that's always kind of a touchy area. Can you tell the fans anything more than what we already know?
Well, I think just by reading the language of how it was delivered and who was delivered by tells me it wasn't a football team issue, you know, with the rules or something with Bo Pelini, because if it was, Bo Pelini would have made a statement. The fact that it came from the desk above Bo Pelini and the athletic department tells me, you know, it was something, whether it was NCAA or Big Ten related, that could be a number of things. So I don't want to get into it too much, but it obviously was something where it, with the NCAA or Big Ten related, whether that's a failed test or a rule or whatnot. And, you know, he's going to have to pay the price and sit out the year. He still practices. In fact, I saw Leroy out there today practicing. He's with the team in every facet. He just can't play in any games.
Sean Callahan, Husker Online, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget our first Husker lunch at the end of the month, as always, in Grand Island. He'll be back at Cunningham's along with Steve Sipple as the season progresses. We'll give you more details on that in just a moment. What do you think about the new quicker practice tempo? You guys get to watch it on a daily basis if you want to. What stands out to you about it?
Well, today they were done fairly early, probably 1 hour and 20 minutes, type practice. So they're quicker and shorter. And I think the biggest thing is just the intensity level of the amount of overall running. Like from a receiver perspective, a year ago, Kenny Bell said he would run up to 7 miles of pass routes in one practice. And now that number is down to about 3. And you do that every day of the week. By the time you get to November, you know, it is going to affect your soft tissues and muscles in your legs. And I think that's one of the things that they realize is, you know, we were probably beating this team down in certain areas that weren't necessary. And then by the time November came around, it would take its toll. So that's kind of what they're building towards. You know, the team is in good shape and conditioned and, you know, they're running their up-tempo offense, but they don't want to overdo it during the week where that builds up over time and has an effect on the season.
Let me ask you this, just kind of your thoughts and if it's been brought up. It seems to me that they want to move and whatever, you know, move as fast as they can in practice. What are they doing when there's a mistake, when somebody's not getting it, when there's a learning curve? Are they really separating the ones and twos away from the younger guys, or how are they handling that?
Yeah, they usually will have two separate fields going. So the ones and twos will be going together kind of typically, and then you'll have another field going on the indoor complex with the rest of the guys, the threes and the fours. So the young players are getting reps. And, in fact, Bo Pelini sometimes will be inside with the young guys on that younger field. But they are teaching. I mean, and, you know, they're being very patient, especially with these guys on the defense. You know, you see Bo Pelini and John Papuchis really, really working with these younger defensive backs, whether it's Kyron Williams or Josh Kalu or Trey Mosley and Byerson Cockrell. I mean, they're over there making sure these guys are in place and doing what they need to do, but they're not stopping practice for 5 minutes to correct and teach. They want to get as many reps in as possible. But that's actually how Nebraska used to do it in the 90s. When I wrote my book, I talked to Milt Temper about that, and he said that they would get, you know, 120 more plays or something of that number in practice. And then when they got in the film room, they would break it down and do the teachable moments in the film room. But they wanted to rep as much as possible in practice. And that was Always thought Tom Osborne did it here at Nebraska, and instead of, you know, stopping and really slowing the pace of practice down.
Jim Langan here. Hey, a question for you. Are they spending quite a bit of time? Because, you know, we've really talked about it, Sean, about, you know, how that punt return team had to improve. Have they done anything different? Are we putting more of a rush on the punter? Because last year we just stood there, let him punt the ball, and then he could wait a little bit. And then by the time he punted it, you know, the team was already downfield. They'd had the punt covered. We had guys that were catching balls inside the 10. There was just so many mistakes on that punt return last year. Have they spent a lot of time on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have really put an emphasis on special teams in general. I mean, every day in practice, I mean, there's a really an extended time they work on it. But on the punt return unit, they have, you know, they have made an emphasis to use starters in all capacity of it. You'll see Amir Abdullah blocking punts. I mean, he's going in there trying to block punts in practice. And we haven't seen the whole unit in general working together quite yet. But there has been an emphasis of trying to get starters and high-profile players in the special teams. They're not just going to, you know, forego that area with, you know, young guys. They want to make that, you know, a dominating part of the game. And their special teams a year ago, other than the punt returns, were just fine. I mean, they didn't have really any kick return or kickoff coverage problems. And obviously their field goal unit was great. I mean, they had some inconsistencies at time in the punting game, but, you know, the punt return problems were so glaring that it kind of overshadowed any of the strengths they have on special teams.
We're talking with Sean Callahan for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Husker Online. Just saw practice one of the day. Let me ask you about a couple of guys from the area. How's Zach Stirrup looking right now?
You know, he's working that right tackle spot, and, you know, he has been working number ones a lot, but he's battling. You know, they're working Matt Finnan in there, and even Givens Price has gotten some time, but it's a competition, and you know, I would still lean today as him being the guy, but there's still two more weeks of camp left, so it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But if you were to break down spots that were wide open, I think right guard and right tackle still have a lot of competition going on it right now.
Well, obviously, I took a few days off last week, so I didn't go big time on the two-day Riker Fife. You know, that seemed to be the thing that was blasting most of the sports stories. And I will say this just as much to our radio friends there in the eastern part of the state as I do to anybody else that brings it up, whether it's, you know, Husker Online, whether it's newspaper, whatever the case may be. I think there is Riker Fife bias. I think if this kid wasn't from Grand Island, he wouldn't be getting poo-pooed as much as he is. Tommy Armstrong gets thumped in practice the other day. Tommy's still number one. What are you seeing out of that quarterback race?
Well, yeah, it's hard to tell because they haven't really done, like, the full-out scrimmages yet. They've done, you know, some scrimmage work, but not, you know, the really, really big separation-type scrimmages. But, you know, in general, Riker has competed, and I think he is the outright number two at this point. And, you know, I don't think there's any debate. You know, Johnny Stanton, in my opinion, hasn't had a really strong camp. He's been inconsistent with the throwing at times. So Riker, to me, is your number two. And, you know, he's battling with Tommy. But I still think Tommy has the edge. But it's nice to see Riker come in there. I think he is going to get a scholarship this August, from what I've gathered, too, as well. So if he gets put on scholarship as a sophomore, that would be a real feather in the cap. I still always remember when he was supposed to go to UNK and then went to Nebraska. Now I can see why Daryl Morris was so upset they didn't get this guy at UNK, because obviously he would have been quite the player out there for you guys.
And speaking, high school gets underway today. You've thrown out quite a few names. It's time to stir that pot again. We're going to be talking Kearney High with Mr. Arp, the face of that program right now. But did we have a kid jump off the page here over the summer at some camps and things that we need to keep our eye on that we haven't already talked about?
You know, I like the kid in Gothenburg, Tanner Borchardt. He, to me, you know, long-term potential could be a big-time prospect, and I think he's going to probably end up at Wyoming or Colorado State. You know, I think we talked about Johanna Guyfon. You know, and I think Jim Lang and I, we talked about him a long time ago when I ran into him at the sports shop down there downtown. And
sure,
he's a guy that looked good this spring and summer. You know, he has that Wyoming offer. I think he's visiting South Dakota State this weekend, too. So I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Johanna ends up at Wyoming. I know he liked the visit up there and had a good time there. And the Wyoming staff is very high on Johanna and what he brings. So it definitely some good players kind of in your surrounding area there this year to keep tabs on. And you mentioned Brian Arp going to Ohio. You know, he's a guy that kind of jumped on that offer he had. He had some other 1AA or FCS offers, but got the chance, I believe, to go out and visit Ohio and wrapped it up early this summer.
And finally, Sean, just kind of recapping here, as he said at the top of our interview, Adam Taylor out indefinitely, broke his ankle Saturday during practice. Some other players have been out. One of those is Brandon Riley. How long is this? How bad is this hamstring thing? And what were some other news that we need to know out of this morning?
Well, he didn't practice today, you know, so it's hard to know where Brandon Riley's hamstring's at, you know, how long they're resting him on that. But, you know, I think it's just precautionary. Alex Lewis didn't practice today either. I think he knows more your normal camp stuff. Every year in camp, you're going to have a handful of guys that get rested a day or two for soft tissue injuries. You know, let's say for your local area, Holtmeyer from Kearney Catholic has really had a nice camp for a walk-on. He's the only walk-on freshman that made the 105-man fall camp roster. So that was quite an honor for him to get on that camp roster. And I've had a couple of people, Jeff Jamrog came up and told me how good he was doing at camp and how they think he'll be a player in the future. So that's good to hear that you guys will have someone in the Kearney area really doing well here in the program, hopefully in the future.
Yeah, Sean, thanks for bringing that up, too. I'm glad you did. You know, the other thing, you made a great comment, and this is extremely important, what you said about, you're talking about a guy running like 7 miles in practice on pass routes and stuff. You know, there's a fine line as a coach and the entire coaching staff on how much hitting you do, what you do, because you've got a lot of games to play, but you also have to get in there and they have to get some reps and they have to get in with the first team and the second team offensive line. I can think of a running back at Nebraska. We definitely don't want to get hurt. You know what I mean? And we sure don't want him to get hurt in practice, and we don't want him to overuse him in practice.
No doubt. I mean, you've got to be fresh in November. When you play Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa in that final stretch there, that's when you should be playing your best football. You shouldn't be limping to the finish line. And I think after six years of research now of how they've done things here under Bo Pelini, they've realized, why is our team always so beat down in November? Why have we not had a healthy offensive line down the stretch and other problems? And I think they looked at some different things and studies and data and realize, you know what, we have to change things. The way we've been doing it has got Nebraska to 9-4, 10-4, six straight years, and that's good enough at 95% of the programs. But obviously at Nebraska, you get fired, you win 9 games. I mean, he almost got fired last year for, you know, going 9-4. So I think it's a deal where they realize that, you know, they've got to change it up if they want to maybe take that next step. And, you know, I give them credit because they're going out there and completely changing how they've done things here after 6 years of doing them one way.
Well, great stuff as always right out of practice, and you can find out more all the time and more updates today on Husker Online as they get ready for practice number 2 tonight. Sean, thanks so much for the time, and we'll chat again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care, Sean Callahan, HuskerOnline.com. We're going to talk with Brandon Cool, head coach Kearney High, here momentarily. Our Husker Chat brought to you by TNL Irrigation. TNL Corner, Linear, Hydrostatic, and Hydraulic Pivots are changing the irrigation industry. To find out more, you can visit your local TNL dealer. We're going to be getting into Husker Harvest Days and a variety of state fair, variety of opportunities to find out more about the pivot systems and that TNL is the right decision and right choice for you. You can also go online to TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. And yes, again, Holtmeyer making the 105. That's a very rare occurrence for true freshman walk-ons.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that great, it was just a great honor, you know, that he had. You know, I know, you know, just when I looked at it, I kind of remembered that he didn't make the Shrine Bowl this year. And there's all athletes and no matter what sport you do, you want things to be fair and on. And you look at that and think, hey, you know, this is something, probably a goal he had. He probably wanted to make the Shrine Bowl. He didn't get that. You know what? I bet he spent some time during the weight room and doing routes and things like that and going, hey, you know, and a little satisfaction now. Hey, I made this 105 roster. Wasn't good enough to play in the Shrine game, but I did make the 105 roster in Nebraska. Well,
And I think there's going to be an opportunity, as usual, for a lot of area kids to do well down there. Brandon Cool has his first practice of the year under his belt, the head football coach at Kearney High. Joins us this morning. Did we get you at least out of a teacher meeting or something, Coach?
You know what? We just got done out of a coaches meeting today and just fed us some Little Caesars pizza, and we're ready to kind of get the rest of the day to get a little work done for the school year.
Well, there you go. It starts this week. It's unbelievable. Before we get to your team, I do want to ask you, since we're talking about Kearney kids and college football, Luke McNitt made the move to Lincoln. Have you had a chance to chat with him this summer at all?
Yeah, so I talked to him multiple times this summer. Had an opportunity to watch him work out in the weight room or down some speed and agility stuff, and he's excited about his opportunity down there. He really enjoyed his time here at UNK, but he just felt like he didn't want to give up the opportunity to play at the next level, and so Nebraska was willing to take him on, and he's always had dreams and aspirations of playing for the Big Red, and here's his opportunity. You know, he won't be able to practice for the next few weeks, obviously, until school starts, but he knew that coming in because he'll have to redshirt because of the transfer rules and regulations. But I know when he gets down there, I bet he'll turn some heads on that scout team.
Well, let's talk about this year. You get that first practice in. What do you look for in opening practice? Because you've been through the camps, you've been through the conditioning. What do you look for this morning?
Yeah, it's so hectic this time of year, especially the first day of practice. You have teachers meetings going on. So we only went for about an hour and 15 hour and 20 minutes this morning. And I think the big thing is looking for the enthusiasm. I thought our senior group was ready to rock and roll. They talked about it all summer long. They prepared themselves all summer long for this opportunity. And believe it or not, we have a little bit of game experience back with this senior group. So we're going to hang our hat on them. In order for us to survive this fall, this senior class is going to have to get it done. And then just trying to get the young kids. You got sophomore kids that have never been at a varsity practice. Trying to get them going in the right direction. We did a lot of drill stuff, individual drill stuff today, and we'll get a little bit more heavy on the inside run / team aspect here this afternoon.
Coach Jim Langen here. Hey, I looked at your schedule, you know, this year, and I just noticed there was three teams that I looked at right away that are in your district: Lincoln East, Southeast, and Millard West. Talk a little bit about them and what you think how competitive they'll be.
Nice thing about Lincoln Southeast is we play those guys at the sophomore level. And our coaches talked to their coaches before the game last year, and they felt like their sophomore class a year ago was one of the best classes they've had in a long time. So Southeast is going to continue to be Southeast. I think they'll be very competitive here this fall. So all those kids will be juniors, and I'm sure they have a nice senior class. Lincoln East, we haven't played Lincoln East for a few years. You know, that's an opportunity to play an afternoon game, a 4:30 kickoff. And so to travel to Seacrest Field and play at 4:30 is going to be a great opportunity for us. We watched them play a couple times on film last year. They always have some big, tall, linky kids at receiver. I know they got a couple of linemen back that had some All-State honors last year. And so Coach Kingery and his staff, they do a great job at Lincoln East. And then Millard West. Out of all those teams, I know Millard West got hit hard by graduation. We had an opportunity to play those guys first round of the playoffs last year, and we're ahead going into the third quarter, and it's one of those things where kids got great experience, and if you're going to win at the Class A level, you're going to win the playoffs, you have to win. For sure the state title has to go through Buell Field at Millard there. So for us to get on that bus here at the end of the season to go to Buell Field to play Millard West is going to be a big key for us to finish up our district competition.
We're talking with Kearney High football coach Brandon Cool. First practice of the fall camp was this morning. They'll go again later today. School starts for the young ones Wednesday and for the rest of the upperclassmen on Thursday. And a couple of unusual things last year. You knew you guys were going to be pretty inexperienced. You lost on opening night, which was very unusual. And you started out 1-4, which was very unusual. But the way you turned it around in the district, the way you played the playoff game, how much momentum carries over from something like that?
Well, that's a great question, and then how you worded it, exactly how I worded it in our senior meeting this spring going into our summer camp. I think the biggest thing that we talked about is last year we got off to such a slow start. Kids played extremely hard. we knew we'd have some growing pains a year ago, but like I told this senior class, we're going to have to get going a little bit faster than we did a year ago. And a lot of those teams were healthy at the beginning of the year. I know we got beat by Norfolk week two, which ended up getting the injury bug hit their football program, which they were not able to make the state football playoffs, but those other guys were pretty good state football playoff teams. So for us, it's a schedule. But from our standpoint, in order for us to survive, we have to take care of business here at the beginning of the season. And you're talking about going to Grand Island, which is always going to be a difficult task, and then playing home against Lincoln Southwest. Have to travel out to North Platte and then play home against Papillion. And so a lot of those teams are going to be greatly improved and teams that you have to reckon with in the playoffs here at the end of the football season.
Let me piggyback that, Brandon. By getting Grand Island the first game, sometimes you play somebody that doesn't have a lot of, you know, zip, I guess, to it. Well, that's not the problem here. I'm guessing the momentum for week one will be high for both teams.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when we play this game, whether it's week one or last couple years, week five, or you know, previous years, we played them last game of the season. But yeah, our kids are excited about that. I think the big advantage out of all the years that I've been at Kearney High School, there's about two or three games that you just didn't feel like your kids were prepared, or we're just sluggish or slow. And last year's Grand Island game still had a bad taste in some of these guys' mouth, including mine. So we'll make some adjustments from a scheme standpoint, but being the first game of the year and traveling to Grand Island, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, and our kids are really looking forward to it.
Now, we don't want to overlook Brian Arp, but we've talked a lot about him. I heard that if he works really hard and has a good attitude, he might make punt team. Is that true?
You know what? Brian Arp will not be on the punt team this year. He's been out here thinking he's a long snapper, and so we fired him right away, but Brian's a special talent. We saw that when he was a sophomore, really matured for us as an athlete. But more importantly, I'm anxious to see how his leadership, when he talks, people listen. And so I talked to him all summer long about his leadership and how he can improve our football program. And I saw it already this morning, and I expect his leadership to shine the rest of the school year.
Last minute here with Brandon Cool. A couple questions left for the Kearney Bearcat coach. Just reading a little bit of the analysis in Huskerland Prep's preseason, what you were talking about, and of course summer can change some of that. Will your offense look different, even though if you may not change it from the style you want, it looks like you might be a little bit bigger. It looks like you might have to use a little more power football. Is that accurate?
I would probably, that's probably pretty accurate on how we're going to have to take care of business. We want to get back to establishing the run a little bit more than we did last year. And do, you know, running the ball last year, a little bit of that is due to personnel. We feel like you got Aaron Griffith and Brian Arp, who are two starters for us a year ago up front, that we can do a little bit more of establishing the run. The nice thing about it is we got two experienced quarterbacks and Jacob White and Peyton Pocock, and then you throw in Jake Waller a little bit, who's a junior kid. So depth-wise at our quarterback spot, we feel very, very comfortable with that. So as usual, these kids have been waiting in the wings, whether they played JV last year or got a little bit of some backup roles a year ago. They're excited about this football season, and in order for us to be successful, we're going to have to continue to play solid defense. We're going to have to dominate a little bit more on special teams than we had in the past, and then offensively just control the clock and take care of business. So take care of the football is the main aspect, and block and tackle, just try to keep things as simple as we can.
And, Brandon, that running back has always been so important for you over the years. Mm-hmm. How's the depth chart look there, and do you plan to platoon the quarterbacks like you did last year?
Yeah, those are two great questions. Running back-wise, Rockton Sterling played for us at wide receiver a year ago, and he's going to go back to the running back spot, which he's played the most of his career except for last year. And then you throw in Eli Keller in the backfield. They got a lot of fullback opportunities for us a year ago. And then you put the two quarterbacks in there that we plan on. You know, we're not hardly changing anything. We set that package up for those two quarterbacks a year ago. Try to stay with that package a little bit, tweak it here and there. And probably out of everything that we'll do quarterback-wise, we'll kind of fine-tune the simplify their own packages on plays that will be called during the football game. But that's a pretty decent backfield, and we're going to turn those guys loose. And our success depends on the guys up front, and see if we can get a few yards out of those guys in the backfield.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to finishing lunch and getting ready for the rest of the school year and football, and it's going to be another good one for the Bearcats. We look forward to chatting again.
All right, thank you for your coverage.
Thanks, Brandon. Brandon Cool, head football coach, Kearney Bearcats. I can't believe 14th year here at Kearney High.
You know, Brandon does a great job, too, managing the game. He's one of the better coaches at that. He's really good when he gets a lead about using the clock. You know, he takes the 24 seconds, you know, that you're allowed, you know, and he does it at about the 10-minute mark down. A lot of guys don't do that until it gets down to the 3 or 4 minute mark. But, you know, he's really good at the clock management. And, you know, Kearney High doesn't lose games because they make mistakes late in the game. And, you know, once he gets there, hey, somebody's got to beat him. You know what I mean? Somebody's got to do something successful. He's not going to put the ball, fumble the ball, do something that he shouldn't do. He's really a good game manager.
Well, the game they played down at Millard in the playoffs versus the game they opened with at Pius showed how far any athletic team can come in just one short season, and that's what the Bearcats did last year. Again, they open up with Grand Island on Friday night, August the 29th. Well, I haven't had my chance to congratulate Mike and Alexis Pennington of Kearney yet. I know you guys did last week. The winner of the Midway Extreme giveaway, taking home the Kawasaki 900 in tandem skydive with Skydive Atlas. Oh, man, they're going to have a lot of fun. Congratulations to them, winner of the Summer Extreme giveaway. And you can be a winner as you head off, maybe sending the kid to high school. Maybe they need a car to drive the family that alleviates you taking them to school all the time. Or maybe they're heading off to college. Midway can take care of you. South 2nd Avenue, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. And they've also been excited because it went on through July and it's been extended into August from the National Chevy dealers. 0% for 60 months. On all 2014 Malibus, Cruises, and Impalas, and also the 2015 Malibus are in stock now, and GM is offering an additional $1,000 rebate on those 2015 models only. You can check it all out online at thinkmidway.com. Like them on Facebook, even more ways to be a winner and have everyday fun with the folks at Midway. We'll be back and wrap things up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
The Oregon Trail Rodeo has changed their dates. On August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, fast-paced action will take place at the Adams County Fairgrounds in Hastings starting at 7 p.m. Join us on Saturday for the 5K, 10K walk run starting at 8 a.m. and for Pink Night at 7 p.m., where $1 will be donated to the Morrison Cancer Center. Dance to West Wind after the Saturday night performance. For information, call 402-462-3247 or go online at AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com. See you August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th at the Oregon Trail PRC Rodeo.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Nearly 650,000 Americans were injured at work last year. In construction, agriculture, medicine, manufacturing, or an office, safety and wellness are the keys to a happy, healthy workplace. Join us at the UNS Conference Center in Kearney, September 25th, for a one-day conference featuring over 20 breakout sessions, comedian Greg Schwemm, a full exhibit hall, and more. Full information and registrations are at GreatPlainsSafety.com. Early bird registration ends August 29th. Be safe, be well. Log on to GreatPlainsSafety.com.
Doug and Daddy's show. Chance to look at our Midtown Mart cooler question for the day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topic. Over the weekend, asked you what concerned you most heading into the Nebraska football season and the way things have now panned out. 43% said injuries. 29% said the offensive line. 21% said the quarterback position. 7% said the schedule. You know, even with the injuries we have right now, I'm kind of on board with the coach. You're a BCS upper division program in Division One. You're going to have some talent. You just don't want to, you know, I mean, you don't want to lose guys this early and have it keep happening. That's for sure. I still say biggest concern for me, quarterback position followed by schedule, and let the players take care of themselves. So we'll see how that pans out. But now our question today, who is your pick to win the ACC outside of Florida State? Florida State preseason number one, overwhelming number one pick to win the ACC. But who do you pick besides Florida State? Who might get there? Clemson, Duke, Louisville, Miami of Florida, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, somebody else? While I was gone, I just happened to catch Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech coach, talking to Jim Rome.
Does he think they're going to be pretty good?
No, he's just honest. I just think Virginia Tech's ready to come up and bite some ankles again.
Is that what he said?
No, that's just what I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, we need to run the ball better, and as always, we're going to stop the run. They need to get a little more offense. That's their problem. So vote now. We'll be going through some of those conference schedules, and that'll be part of our Midtown Mark Cooley question. You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Covered a lot today.
Doug, I'll tell you one thing, but back on one thing you just said about Nebraska football. The quarterback has got to be. I mean, we can talk till we're blue in the face, and I'm going to have people say, oh, you've got to, you know, the quarterback has got to be a big concern, tremendous concern. It was a concern last year. After we had the injury to Taylor Martinez, we didn't even know who to start. It went from week to week. You know, this guy throw a pass, hey, you're in now. This guy throw, he had a good game, boom, we're going. I mean, it was seesawed back and forth. Now, the quarterback that everybody looked at the end was the guy we started against Georgia that we thought was okay. But this was by far is the most critical thing, and that's why people aren't afraid of Nebraska. That's why in Vegas, at the beginning, they said Nebraska will win 7.5 games. You can bet it over or under. Nebraska was at 7.5. If Nebraska had a quarterback, they would be at 9.5. So by far, Doug, you are 100% correct. The quarterback is the big concern.
Well, hopefully he won't be.
That's good. You know, I hope you're right.
Won't be.
Yeah.
And you've been liking Northwestern, but I think we talked about it off the air. If I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But running back Venrick Mark, who received a medical hardship because he got hurt last year because he broke his ankle, coming back, now he's suspended for the first two games, which if you were suspended in Lincoln this year for the first two games, people would be going, eh. But their first two games are against California and Northern Illinois. Of course, Northern Illinois has been the power of that conference for some time now. Top 20 program. Maybe they won't be, but this year California comes in. Name program. They're not playing Western Illinois, which is their third game. So this might hurt Northwestern's chances for Venrick Mark, fourth all-time at Northwestern in all-purpose yards.
Yeah, that's not who I wanted to be out. There's no doubt about it when you pick somebody like that. Because I think Northern Illinois and you know, I don't know if California can come into Northwestern and win. I don't know if that's going to happen. But I definitely think Northern Illinois can compete.
Yeah, they're not scared of anybody anymore.
Yeah, on the Big Ten, they can compete with everybody in the Big Ten.
Also, we talked about the baseball, so hopefully Westside or Creighton Prep can win that regional up in Fargo. Loper Volleyball has added Kelly Carver of Shawnee, Kansas, played at Cameron University Division II in Lawton, Oklahoma for a couple of years. Also coming in, defensive specialist Bailey Hughes of Syracuse, a second-team superstater her senior year. And they're just teeing it off out at the Country Club. 108 ladies expected to play in the 2014 Nebraska Senior Amateur that runs the next 3 days. Jane Pullman of Omaha is the defending champion playing out at the Kearney Country Club. So we welcome all those ladies to town for that event. We want to thank Ibrahim Kemble, outstanding safety of Northwestern, along with Sean Callahan of Husker Online and Brandon Cool, Kearney High football coach, for joining us today. We'll talk with Grand Island coach Jeff Tomlin tomorrow on the program. Looks like Mitch Leidner is penciled in as our Big Ten preview Minnesota quarterback, and Damon Day will be in as my co-host. Jimmy, see you at the end of the week. You get me some over and unders, okay?
I'll do that.
Later in the week, Wednesday, Jeff Erickson, the man with RotoWire. He is the executive director, publisher?
Senior editor.
Senior editor, that's what I'm looking for. So fantasy football talk will start on Wednesday, so get your questions ready as well. Doug Duda back in the chair. Great to have you with us today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy that second day of football practice. I'll be here at work. I'm not sure which one is more painful. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.